Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to American Statesman Blog Talk Radio, the place where it's all about duty, honor, country, and one nation under God, which we still are one nation under God, even though there are definitely those trying to change it. Today is Thursday, May 13th, 2021. I think it's been over a month since we last spoke. I've been busy trying to get back on track here, but it'll probably be another couple weeks before I am really back up and running on the regular schedule. Let's see, tonight, not sure how many people are going to be tuning in right now. Hopefully we get a few people to join since I haven't been on the last few weeks, and this is a Thursday, not a Monday, so it's a little bit different too. So we'll see how it all goes. There's definitely a lot of stuff to talk about, and it's almost like I don't know where to begin. But we're going to go for starting with a quick update with Florida. Florida is becoming the Freedom State. Some of you who get my emails know that way back when I was telling encouraging Governor DeSantis to make Florida the Freedom State, which he was doing. He was letting up on the crazy restrictions and stuff a year ago and things like that. So a group of us continued to promote, sending him emails and communication and putting it out there, let Florida be the Freedom State. Don't fall for all this insanity of what they're doing with COVID. And as we got more and more information, it's more and more obvious of what was going on there. So I think yesterday on Newsmax, he called us the Freedom Oasis. And okay, I said Freedom State, Freedom Oasis. Okay, whatever. Whatever works. But Florida continues to be the model, letting up on all these crazy restrictions. And we're going to talk about COVID shortly here, because we got to be honest with what's going on, you know. But he went out there and we had the law passed, which I won't go into all the details about the bill that he signed about a week ago now. Puts a lot of restrictions on state of emergencies and what the different municipalities can do and what the governor of the state can do too. You can't be giving these people just unlimited power to be able to shut everybody down and stuff like that at the local level or at the state level. So it was very good that we did this, because here in Florida, while he was lightening up on the restrictions, local municipalities continued, like right here in Orange County, Florida. Mayor Demings, Jerry Demings, insisted on maintaining the mask mandate. I think he may have even had the social distancing, but that, you know, didn't do a lot. The social distancing, everybody's still keeping a fair amount of space between them now anyway. That's no big deal, but the mask mandate, he kept putting it out there. And then the governor went out there and said, no individual can be billed or fined or penalized for failure to social distance or for not wearing the mask. So he did that. So what happened locally, and happened in other areas of the state too, by some information I've recently heard, would go after the businesses. So if you were in the business, they would fine the business. If you were in the business not wearing a mask, they would fine the business. So this is the way they backdoored it. I know that this was being done here in Orange County because some people had told me, and then I heard about it on the news actually yesterday, in Broward County was doing the same thing. So with signing the one bill that was restricting all these crazy mandates, it also removed any restrictions. It limited what the local municipalities could do, but then it really doesn't go into effect until July. So DeSantis went ahead, Governor DeSantis did an executive order to remove the restrictions and to prevent local municipalities from continuing these COVID restrictions and things like that immediately, so as to give us the time, so we didn't have to wait till July, basically, is what it all came down to. And it was apparently it was last night on Laura Ingraham. I did not see it on Laura Ingraham, but it came through the grapevine. And apparently he was on with her last night. There were two individuals who had been arrested. They were owners of a fitness center or a gym or something. And apparently, this was Broward County, they had been arrested because they had people inside their facility exercising in a gym without wearing masks. And it's bad that you're exercising and all the extra breathing and everything else. You need to be able to breathe easily. So you're not really supposed to wear a mask there anyway. It's not good for you to wear a mask in those conditions. But Broward County went ahead and arrested these two individuals. And so DeSantis went ahead and gave clemency. The way I understand it, it's that clemency across the board for anybody in the state of Florida who's been charged with any kind of or arrested, whatever, with failure to do the social distancing or the mask mandate, stuff like that. And that's the right thing to do because it's insane. It's one thing to say, here's what we need to do to be more protective. If you're concerned, wear the mask, whatever. So stay home more. Don't go out as much, whatever, you know. There's all sorts of things you can say on that one. But to go and take away most basic rights and go and these penalties and arresting people. I mean, murderers are okay. Go ahead and murder as many people as you want. That's okay. But don't let anybody in your facility without a mask on. I mean, it's insane. I see Dr. Joe out there right now, and I'm going to go to him in just a minute because he can probably fill in the blanks on some of this stuff, too, when it comes to that. The other thing I want to make sure I get in there, and I have the link on the show page real quick. The other thing DeSantis is doing, or Florida is doing and DeSantis is leading, is getting rid of this critical race theory stuff out of the schools. Now, you go to the website. It's the FloridaCitizensAlliance.com. You can go out there and sign the open letter to the governor. We got to keep pushing. I don't know if it's officially changed yet. He's talked about it, and he made it sound like it was done yesterday, but I'm not sure it's 100%. So continue. Anybody from Florida, you need to go out there. You need to sign the open letter. You got to say, we should not be teaching racism. I mean, you don't want to talk about the most insane. I can only imagine what Martin Luther King would do today or say today if he was here seeing that we've got a group out there wanting to push racism in this country. They that's all they seem to believe in, nothing else, which all ties into Marxism, and we'll talk a little bit about that later. But it's totally insane, and it's not true. We're supposed to be treating people equal, not equity, equal, equality. We are all equal. Doesn't matter who or what you look like or whatever, what color you are, whatever. We are equal. Excuse me. And that is what we're supposed to be doing. But this critical race theory, how we are brainwashing and destroying the future of this country through those in public school education and the stuff, insane. So he's out there doing that. And, again, the link is on the show page. Or you can just go out to Florida Citizens Alliance. You'll see it on their front page. They have information about it. Go to that link, sign the open letter, encouraging and pushing to get this done. The majority of people do not believe in this. However, it's going to be up to the people to demand it be changed. Here in Florida, we happen to be lucky that the governor supports American values. He believes in God. He believes this is what we should be standing for, et cetera, et cetera, and does not believe in supporting such anti-American racist rhetoric, which is what this stuff is. It's all Marxism. We're not supposed to be promoting and teaching Marxism and communism, saying this is what's good and that America's bad. It's so wrong. So please go out there and do that. And before I get into anything else on COVID, I'm going to get Dr. Joe in here because I think he's got something to say. Hey, Dr. Joe, how are you doing?
Hey, Sally, how are you tonight?
Oh, doing okay. It's been a while.
Yeah, it has. Well, I'll fill in some of the blanks on what you were talking about. You know, Broward County. I was over there for a medical meeting around, I think it was the 15th of May. So here we are almost a month later, and I was outside on the patio eating lunch. And looked across the parking lot, and there were people coming from their cars wearing masks and walking down. It was in a shopping plaza. People walking down the sidewalks wearing masks. And I said to the waiter, I said, "What's going on around here?" "Oh, Broward County ordinance, you have to wear a mask." I said, "They're crazy out in the sunshine." So I'm glad to hear that the governor gave these guys clemency in the gym. I mean, it's ridiculous. How can you exercise and breathe when you're wearing a mask? So Broward has been probably just as bad as what you have up there in Orange County with all this.
Yeah.
Collier, here where I am in Naples, our mask ordinance, expired a month ago, April 13th. The problem that we're having here and also in Lee County, which is Fort Myers, is with the school district. The school district is saying that the executive orders that the governor signed on April 30th don't apply to them. It only applies to municipalities and businesses. It doesn't apply to the school districts. And the parents have come, the last couple of school meetings, you know, we've had several, 30, 40 parents make public comment about the masks for the remainder of the school year. The Department of Education, Commissioner Corcoran, issued an order that for the next school year, masks would be voluntary. But the problem that we're having is, what do you do about the rest of the school year right now? And it's only just a couple of weeks left, but people, you know, some of the kids are having problems with the mask mouth and all these other problems. It's a bone of contention, and some of the parents are so mad that they're going to run for school board. So that's good, because we need to get rid of some of these communists off the school board.
Absolutely.
And speaking of schools, you're talking about critical race theory. We have been reviewing the English language arts books. They're up for adoption this year. In 2019, when the governor came into office in January, the third week in office, he signed an executive order to get rid of Common Core from English and math books. And that year, the math books were up for adoption. So he issued an order to stop the purchase of all math books. So the new Florida BEST standards came out in December of 2019. And during 2020, during the pandemic, career bureaucrats of the Department of Education were still hard at work getting the textbooks changed. But what they've done is, though they may be absent some Common Core and they may be compliant with the best standards, but they've been enhanced with critical race theory. So that's what we're finding in our review. Our here in Collier County, our review was due today. Objections were due at 4 o'clock. We made several. And then anywhere from 10 days to 2 weeks from now, we're probably going to have a public hearing about our objections. We've also, I'm on the advisory board to Florida Citizens Alliance, so thank you for promoting the open letter to the governor. We want the governor to go ahead and halt the adoption and purchase of these English language arts books until they get it right. So
okay.
It's just still a mess with the books. We still have Common Core in the schools, basically, because as long as you have bad textbooks and 85% of the teachers have been indoctrinated into this leftist ideology, we basically still have Common Core in the schools.
Yeah, and I was even hearing, I can't remember, it was another state, what state it was, they had gone out there and banned the critical race theory stuff too, and then some of these teachers said, we don't care, we're teaching it anyway. I mean, it's unbelievable. And this is exactly
what
the
federal
government
was
never supposed to be in education. What's that?
Well, that's a whole other ball of wax. But the thing is that the teachers can get it in two ways. They can just talk about it in general in the course of conversation. And also they can bring in supplemental materials. They don't always get them approved at their school districts. Some teachers just bring it into the classroom. You know how it is. So it's still a bear. You're better off homeschool your kids.
Definitely.
Or put them into a good private
school. And going back to – this is why we should never have a federal Department of Education. We must force it to be local. And people need to understand what local means. And because, you know, with the government, federal government gets in it, then they start having all the strings attached to the money and everything else, and they think they're the ones that are supposed to control education and supposed to raise your kids and whatever else, and that's not what it is.
Yeah, well, you know, the federal government only pays about 10% of education funding. But like you said, they have all the strings. And we have to be willing. We have a wealthy school district here. And we have a leftist superintendent and a leftist school board. But at one point, we did have two conservative school board members a couple years ago. And we were saying we have to be willing to cut the strings. we won't worry about the 10% because we actually have the money down here. We're very fortunate and appreciative that we have that ability to say thanks, but no thanks. And we now have a governor, because back then we had Governor Scott, who was not very forceful. But we have a governor who would back us up and say, we're using the 9th and 10th Amendments to push back the federal government. Okay, counties, if you can afford it, do your thing. And he may have to, also DeSantis may have to give up federal money because some of it actually flows through the state legislature down to the counties. So we have to be willing to say, you know, we're going to push you back. So we'll see what happens. This has definitely been a contentious year, and we see that the media and the politicians are all after our governor.
Oh, yeah. it's really something. While the people are supportive of what he's doing and things are going better, it's amazing how the media does this attack, and of course, the liberal side. It's unbelievable. It's like they just absolutely refuse to accept anybody who truly believes in the freedom or the Constitution or, you know, the basic fundamentals of what we're supposed to be about, and they're going to do everything they can to push it back. But right now, he keeps going, and we're just going to we all know it's going to be an interesting election season when it comes time for that one, too. But I won't even get into that yet, kind of thing. So anyway, I think Florida's on the right track, and there's why a lot of people are moving this way, and why I think we're doing better than so many other states. Not that we're doing wonderful. We still have the likes of a Walt Disney World.
Even though we have a great governor and everyone wants to move here, I'm not happy with that. You know, let them stay in their own states and stand up. They come down here, and we have two problems. Houses are flying off like hotcakes, and the prices are going up and up and up.
Yeah.
So they basically create inflation for those of us who live here year-round. But the second thing that I'm worried about is while they may vote for him because he's a good governor, a lot of these people coming in are Democrats. And I know you have a mixed audience, but, you know, I'm saying, hey, you come down here. Don't bring your old habits here because you're just eventually going to raise our taxes. We don't have an income tax right now, but these people are coming from a state that does have an income tax. So, you know,
True. It's
a mixed blessing with these people coming in here. Plus, you know, I've lived here for 35 years, and I've always said, are we ever going to have enough water for everybody, you know, drinking water? I mean, yeah, we have a lot of ocean water, but I don't know. I think one of these days we're just going to say Florida's closed.
Well, I've been trying to say that right here in Orange County, saying, you know, people may all want to move to Orange County, but we can't take everybody in here. They can't all live here. We don't have the water supply, and you can't simply move the wetlands, a.k.a. swamps, wherever you feel like it, because that's, you know, they always have this garbage about mitigating the wetlands. I'm so sick of listening to that from these idiots. But they're causing flood. They're creating flood zones that never were. They're bringing in the dirt into the low areas and neighborhoods that were never flooded around it are getting flooded. And then, of course, having a true clean water supply is going to be the other question. But they don't care because it's all about money and their friends and their political friends and high density. It's all everything right near me, high density, all apart from
hopefully
buildings.
Trying
to do without the home, single family.
Yeah, hopefully this is all short-lived because you know, the CDC has finally lifted some of its restrictions today.
You're fading out some.
Sorry. I think hopefully this migration into Florida will be a short-lived thing because the CDC just today lifted some restrictions involving the mask. So, you know, hopefully people just stay where they are.
A lot of static coming through all of a sudden.
Okay.
Okay, that sounded better. Yeah, the CDC, well, everybody's starting to push back. People are beginning to realize what's really happening with this COVID stuff, which is something I'm going to put out there, and I'm going to say something that I've actually heard some people start to say this out loud on the TV lately, even though I've been saying it, as you well know, I've been saying it for a while. COVID, it was truly a biological attack on the United States. I think that was their real target, but they spread the wealth around the world. But it was an attack. It was an attack on us. They had to shut down this election. They had to take down what was happening in this economy. They wanted to continue to promote their new world order, one world globalism, whatever you want to call it, excuse me, which is what Hillary was supposed to do. She was supposed to finish up what Obama was doing, Hillary Clinton, and they had to put a halt to it. They could not allow it to happen, and they were going to do whatever they could do in this COVID thing. That is my own sincerest belief. In the beginning, I had no opinion. When it first started, even though I was somewhat suspicious, wait a minute, Trump just got acquitted again. What are they going to do now to try to stop him? They were determined they were not going to let him get reelected. And, well, China is the partner in crime with these. I mean, let's face it, China is a communist country, in case some people seem to forget that, which seems like a lot do. And, of course, they weren't exactly real what do you want to call it, fans of Trump. So, and here it was Fauci who and the CDC who worked together to give the virus over to China to do their gain of function. And maybe you can explain the gain of function piece better to people understand what it really is. And how this was, to me, a biological warfare attack, whatever. And a lot of people would be mad at me saying that. But that's what it is, and that's what it has been. And if we don't stop it, it's going to continue to harm our country. It's going to continue to harm the world. The world, little by little, is getting over it as well. And the thing with India, apparently they were not giving them any kind of treatments, and it had nothing. The vaccine is a whole other story. They never, as you and I have talked about before, the vaccine, the only way they could do the vaccine was to block the ivermectin and to block the hydroxychloroquine, to say those were not valid treatments, when in fact they knew they were. And I got some info on that tonight as well. But so they truly, it's the ultimate, this has been a biological attack. We never needed the vaccines. How many people have died because they didn't let them openly use ivermectin or hydroxychloroquine? And now they're letting them do it because they can't hide it anymore. They can't cover it up anymore. But how many people died because of that? And how many people are going to die because of this crazy vaccine they put out there that's not tested? Not approved, I should say. And how many people are getting it because they think they have to, or because government is telling them to, or because that nutcase by the name of Fauci is out there spreading this garbage? God, that guy's got to go. I know Rand Paul is trying to get him fired. I think they do. I think the House actually put a bill out there to get him fired. But, and we're going to talk more about that with that dossier and stuff like that. But for being a doctor, give a little bit of your take on what's going on with this. And, you know, the gain of function. I mean, as I understand, well, gain of function, it's to modify it to make it more dangerous, basically.
Yeah, you've modified the virus to make it more virulent. Why you would want to do that, I don't know. I think it's an evil thing. I've come to find out that we are living among Satanists in this world. You know, I don't want to get necessarily into that discussion tonight. But I've been learning more about this the last month or so. It's very, very evil what's going on. I think, you know, Fauci has lost all credibility. He flip-flopped with the mask issue. I mean, I'm talking over the past year. He's 80 years old now, and he should have retired 15 years ago. And if that had happened, he wouldn't even been part of this whole situation, okay? But be it as it may, he's there, and he's in retrospect, you can see where he actually worked against President Trump. He wanted the limelight and all this and that, you know. But what else can I say? The emergency use authorization, as you alluded to, it's only available to vaccines if there is no official effective treatment. So that's why a lot of the studies were either stopped or sabotaged for the hydroxychloroquine and the ivermectin. So they can say, well, there's nothing truly available, so they were given emergency use authorization. And unfortunately, that authorization was extended on Monday to adolescents aged 12 to 15 to the Pfizer, because Pfizer back in December was only approved to 16 and over. So now it's been extended down to age 12. We don't know everything about this vaccine. We don't know if there's any potential for sterility and other problems. I don't know what you really call the vaccine. It's an mRNA biological. You may or may not know that this mRNA technology actually started around 6 years ago or so in developing treatments for cancer. They were trying to develop a vaccine for cancer. But this is an infectious disease. So it's going to be interesting to see how this plays out, whether people who take this mRNA injection, whether they develop autoimmune diseases themselves or whether they actually become super spreaders. There was an article out 2 weeks ago showing that people exposed just to the spike protein, not the whole virus, but just to the spike protein, it's enough to cause a genetic change in the cells of their airways, you know, their lungs and everything. So that's an interesting development. What if these people who have taken the vaccine become super spreaders and basically spike protein factories and come into contact with those of us who are not? Will we develop airway problems? A lot of unanswered questions here. So,
it's very scary to me. And you go back to that most basic question of why they were trying to create this to begin with, this gain of function stuff. And I call me crazy, but China is a communist country. They're not exactly our friends. I think it's fair to say they might be an enemy that would want to destroy us. So why would we be helping them to create and develop chemicals that would kill us? When are they going to stop?
Yeah, apparently some of this happened in some laboratories in North Carolina 3 years
started
ago.
Correct.
Yeah. I don't know what people's motivations are. Sally, you know, we have 330 million Americans, but not all of them love America, you know? So who the heck knows? And, of course, it involves money,
exactly.
Too, right? So
the enemies from within. So if you have the enemies from within, who would you go to outside of the USA to help you to be your ally? I mean, communist China seems to be a very good choice. It's just amazing that you would even do this. And, I mean, could someone here have been developing it as some sort of biological warfare thing for us and our own national defense? Maybe that's what they did, but it's my understanding even Obama stopped it or said it was too dangerous. I mean, wasn't that the reason why they end up outsourcing it to China, because they stopped them here? I think that's what I heard.
Yeah, I don't know the story on that. I mean, you know, we could sit here all night and talk conspiracy theories.
You're fading out again.
In the meantime, the fact of the matter is we do have, you know, this virus. And I would like to say some things about what's been going on in that regard. We know that it's – hello, can you hear me? Yeah.
Nope, you gotta, you're fading out again.
We know that there's a thunderstorm coming, so it may be affecting the cell towers. I don't know. But we know that, you know, children and young adults have a very, very, very small mortality rate from this virus, okay? I lost my train of thought on that. But the point is the people over age 65 have the highest mortality rate. It's been my personal observation. You know, people say the masks work. People say the masks don't work. The biggest problem I see is, despite what everyone wants to do about the masks, people are not washing their hands enough, okay?
Yep.
I saw a guy take his mask down and rub his nose and his eyes with his dirty hands, okay? You know, so what's the sense of wearing a mask if you don't clean your hands? You know, people are not, I'm just telling you, they're getting lax, and they're even going to get lax with the grocery carts, not washing them down. I really believe it's more the dirty hands. okay, than anything else. I've said that since the beginning. So,
yep.
So you know, it still is a deadly virus. I have friends in the COVID ICU, so it's very real, okay? He has some underlying problems such as asthma, and he is over 70, okay? But it's still very real. But, the question is, how are we transmitting it, right? That's what the CDC is there to help us with and all this and that.
Yeah.
And I still think it has to do more with hygiene, with hand washing. And I'll just leave it at that.
Yeah, and the masks are, to me, they're probably more of a transmitter themselves because, I mean, we know, first off, how many times you see the masks out in the parking lot, people throw them down anyway. But then if they take them off, then they put them in their purse, put them on the seat of the car, guys stuff them in their pockets, and they use them again. I mean, how dirty are the masks, too? And then they're handling the masks and handling everything else. It's also insane. And it makes no sense. So those are going to go. I sent out my email, and I think you were copied on it, and you get most of my junk, to Publix to say something about it's time for you to let up on the restrictions. I had called Publix myself, and they said that they were going to continue with a mask mandate. And I figure that's more to do with trying to keep the locals happy, the one like Jerry Demings. Mayor Demings, you know, because he wants it still there. He wants it to show his power and his control. So whether they're going to follow the local, I don't know if they're truly doing it statewide. It doesn't sound like they are in some areas, but I did. That's what they told me on the phone. So I did try to get people to call Publix directly and then to also send them the letter. I'll be doing this to some other chains as well. But, you know, in Florida, if you really want to get someone's attention, Publix is definitely a good starting point, I would think, if they would start pushing back on it, too. So we'll see what's going to happen there.
Yeah. Yeah, they'll get pressure from their customers. For instance, do you have a Sprouts there, the Sprouts Farmers Market?
Yeah.
We have one
here.
Yeah,
we've got a couple of them.
And I heard that they made it mask optional now. So you'll see more. It's more of, thank God for the free market, right? As more of the competition relaxes the masks, you'll see Publix do that. They may be the last one, but they'll eventually do it.
Yeah, I think so, too. And little by little, the other ones will. But right now, again, here in Orange County, because Demings is out there, I think Demings was going to be one of them that were going to try to challenge the executive order saying it wasn't legal and whatever else. And, you know, all this other pushback. So, and again, Demings was the one handling the local businesses if anybody was in their store because they couldn't do anything else and that kind of stuff. So we'll see how it all plays out. But enough is enough already. But, you know, to me, it's really people have to understand what this COVID really was about. And I just challenge anybody to think, what would the world be like today, especially what would our country be like today had there not been this fake pandemic? Because to me, it is still a plandemic. It was all planned. It was all a scheme because they couldn't get Trump. The virus, they talked about this virus back in November or December of 2019, and that's when Fauci said, oh, don't worry about it, da-da-da, whatever, his story back then. And it wasn't until, 3 weeks, 4 weeks after Trump got acquitted again that all of a sudden this all happened, thing that was a chain reaction to it. You know, people want to, it's not a conspiracy theory if it's true. And does anybody think, anybody who can really say they don't think the Democrats would do anything this crazy? And I really should say the communists, the Marxist communists of this country, those who are so determined to take this country down. And there's those that are out there. Well, it was Abraham Lincoln that said, it will be destroyed from within. And look how much we've let China take over this country as well. I mean, whatever it is, whatever was made the Communist Party of the U.S. that now somehow has an alliance, the U.S. Communist Party now has an alliance with the Democrat Party. What does that tell you? And, of course, anybody who goes back and does the real history, when they talk about the Jim Crow laws, let's talk about Democrats. Weren't they the ones that were leading the charge on that? But the Democrats turn everything around and saying it makes it so kind of thing, and how many people believe them? And it's not the truth. It's not the truth. And this COVID thing, I just, in the beginning, I had no real opinion except to think maybe it was China doing some kind of an attack on us that way, truly China doing something. But then as you got into it more and more and you saw the Fauci routine out there and the CDC, and then when you learn about the CDC and the patent on the SARS virus and one thing after another, what else can you believe? What do you truly believe is the root cause of COVID? Was it really an accident?
Well, I have some theories, and I think some of the stuff you're talking about are actually opportunities that COVID presented. But I truly believe that COVID was developed, if we believe it was developed in the lab, that COVID was developed really for depopulation. There are a bunch of people who think there are too many people in this world and that we have too much of a carbon footprint, and they're trying to depopulate the world. That's one theory. Another theory is, well, if people only get take the vaccine and get autoimmune diseases from it, then some people are going to make a lot of money off of that. That's another theory. The American Communist Democrats could have used it as the opportunity to do the mail-in ballots and steal the election. Some people feel that the central banks here, which is the Federal Reserve, as well as other central banks around the world, took advantage of it to cover up all the financial problems that we had. And then, we had a man-made recession depression because we had all the lockdowns. So there's a lot of moving parts here. I don't know which ones are true or which ones are half true, but obviously we are all suffering from this.
Yep, we sure are. And without, even if it was truly an accident that it started, that it happened to spread, if you go to that extent, that doesn't explain all the BS from Fauci. I mean, Fauci wants to be Superman, wants to be the hero of the day, apparently, and this was based on a doctor that worked with him or a scientist that worked with him in the past. I can't remember what her name is, but something where, he thought he had created the treatment, the cure for AIDS. And, he's so determined that he wants to be the savior or whatever you want to call it, the one who goes out there and has saved the world. His legacy, his whatever it is. The guy, he's a bigger narcissist than Trump ever really thought of being, only he's playing it in a lot different game than what Trump has played. And that, and of course, all the money. I mean, you go out there and you see his ties to the vaccine, and it goes, what you're saying too, when it comes to, you have Soros and Gates out there who definitely believe in depopulation. And Gates, if anybody would really look into what he did in South Africa and the stuff he's done down there, the people he's killed down there, he's definitely into depopulation. You don't have to look. Just go out there on the Internet and find. There's so much information. You know what? If you see some one or two random articles out there, and you could say, oh, that's some nutcase saying this. But you go out there and you watch the videos of him talking about it with Soros. He and Soros are good old friends. So, I mean, it's insane. And the fact that we have the media truly is the virus. What do you think would have happened with COVID if we would have had a real media, an honest media?
Well, I think we would have had the truth, a search for the truth. Ivermectin and hydroxychloroquine would have been allowed to continue those studies. Yeah, we'd have a completely different history than what happened.
Yeah, absolutely.
If we had a good media.
And, just the other thing, just for the clarification, as a not a medical professional understand it, what was happening, and this goes back to the doctor with the America's Frontline Doctors, I'm trying to remember what her name is, Gold something, whatever. She was one of the first ones coming out there about the hydroxychloroquine. And the whole point is, while it wasn't technically approved for COVID, because really nothing was, it just happened. They didn't exactly have it out there all the time to do the study. It had been approved, and the same was true with ivermectin, had been approved for years and years, decades, for other things, other treatments. And the doctors would use it as off-label, my understanding, off-label use, to prescribe it for this as well. And when they realized it was a very good, which I'm going to mention one other reason why they knew it was a treatment as well, then all of a sudden they had to put a halt to that. They had to block them, make it illegal for them to use an off-label approved medication. And that's where I see the evilness. This is where, okay, there's another game going on here. We'll call it war, call it what it, the destruction of this economy to take down Trump, whatever. There's definitely another thing, because why would they have to go and block them from using it instead of using it as off-label like they were?
Well, they had to block them from using it to pave the way to use the vaccine early. Otherwise, the vaccine would have had to gone on for studies for 2 to 4 years. But they were able to get the emergency use authorization for the vaccine and get it going. Because
exactly.
There was no approved.
Then,
right.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's the whole point. They blocked it. They literally blocked it because they wanted to promote this vaccine, which for no good reason. I mean, I really don't understand at this point in time why so many are still trying to say that bragging or whatever you want to call it, promoting that Trump got the vaccine out there faster and everything else. But look, yeah, he did, but was it really the right thing to do? And how many laws and all the ethical things that happened along the way, why was it really something to be proud about? Because right now I don't think it's a good thing at all. I don't. And the fact that they act like it's approved and these people are taking it thinking it's approved when it's not approved. I'm trying to find that one other article here. Okay.
Well, that's the misinformation from the press. You know, the press has not really explained that to the American people, that this is still an experimental biological device, really. People don't realize that they're actually participating in a clinical trial. Because it's emergency use authorization. And I actually went to the pharmacy and looked at what people were signing, and it was just regular standard vaccine documents that they were signing. There was nothing about emergency use authorization. Because when you're in a clinical trial, you usually get 5 or 6 pages to sign. And this is just a standard vaccine sheet. So... I mean, we could go on to all the implications here, what it has to do with even what happened, you know, why we had the Nuremberg trials 80 years ago. So I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah. Well, you're more than welcome to, if you're tired of talking, let me know. Otherwise, I'm going to keep picking your brain on this stuff. The other thing, I sent this out. Virology Journal, this is the newsletter of the NIH, the National Institute of Health, which is all part of Fauci's group, National Institute of Infectious, whatever it is, disease, something. This dated July 2005, accepted August of 2005. Chloroquine is a potent inhibitor of SARS coronavirus infection and spread. This was 2005. And it goes into the information about how effective it is in preventing the spread. See if I can find this. Okay. May negatively influence the virus receptors binding and abrogate the infection and further ramification of the elevation of vascular pH. Of course, again, you can understand all this more than me, resulting in the inhibition of infection and spread of SARS-CoV. In which, of course, this was for the very first SARS virus, at clinical admissible concentrations. Conclusion, chloroquine is effective in preventing the spread of SARS-CoV in cell culture, favorable inhibition of virus spread, and observed when the cells were either treated with chloroquine prior to or after the infection. In addition, the indirect, I can't even say this one, immunofluorescence, I'm not good at these medical terms. Essay described herein represents a simple and rapid method for screening SARS-CoV antiviral compounds. I mean, everything they show in this thing, are they going to say that nobody ever looked at it or did a thing with it after they came up with this right here? This alone was grounds to not block it from being treated and to continue to allow it to be a study or whatever you want to call it, research, for the virus. This was here, and then the ivermectin, is, there's a similar story with ivermectin and how it's been out there. But this, to me, this alone, from the National Institute of Health, shows what they did was criminal to me, a crime against humanity,
well,
because they had this right here.
It's technically another virus. Whoop,
can't
so,
hear you.
I said technically it's another virus, so I don't think you can say that. I think you're, you know, you have to be careful. You actually have to do the studies, but they didn't do the studies on SARS-CoV-2, so, you know, technically, it's all technicalities, you know, nuances. So they either stopped the studies and what have you. Like I said, it paved the way for the back for this the supposed vaccine. You know, this mRNA biologic. Okay, so that's where you are.
The key being that they blocked the use instead of it being allowed to be used as off label. Because this isn't like something somebody had just cooked up in their kitchen the other day. This hydroxychloroquine and ivermectin have been out there for what, decades, 50, 60 years. I mean, we're not talking about
well,
something
it's
that
one
just
thing
put
to use it off-label, but it's another thing to actually have – when you do the studies, okay, when you actually do the studies, then the FDA can actually approve an additional use, okay? So
right.
There's a lot of things that are used off-label, but you don't have anything – the doctors don't have anything to back them up, you know, it's just off-label. But when you actually do the formal studies, you know, you may get – for instance, you may get hydroxychloroquine, for instance, approved for malaria, right? We also know that it's used for rheumatoid arthritis, okay? And I don't know the history of all that, but obviously got approved for one use, and then it got approved for an additional use after the studies were done. And it could get approved for yet another use if the studies are done. Okay, in the meantime, you can still use it for other things off-label. But if you want to have on-label, you know, and that has many implications, for instance, whether your insurance company is going to approve you to use it and all this and that on your insurance plan, you know. There's many, many good reasons why you want to have it as an approved use on label, okay? So, anyway, that's what's going
well,
on.
Yeah,
and if you had a free press, you would all this would be exposed and the people would have full knowledge of what's going on.
And people would have the option. They could take the hydroxychloroquine or their ivermectin without having to be worried about it being illegal because they blocked them. But that's the whole point to me. It's that instead of allowing them to the doctors to offer it as off-label as they saw possibly for their patients, they blocked it and made it illegal. So they
that's something new because as doctors use a lot of things off-label. But it's not usually considered illegal, okay? It's just more that the insurance companies or who the powers that be aren't going to pay for it under an insurance plan. You'll have to pay full price, okay? But this illegal stuff, that's a new twist, okay? I've never really seen it with other medications.
Yeah, and then there was this it's way too long for me to cover this whole thing, and I haven't even read the whole thing myself. I'll be honest, the Fauci COVID-19 dossier, anybody can look this up. It was done up by David Martin, who's done an awful lot of research on this stuff. And there's the opinion from Justice Clarence Thomas. And I'm going to see if I can find my copy. I've got a couple of things here. Couple of pieces that I really wanted to read on the air here, excuse me, because it's so important as to what they actually said and did here. Okay, where is it? Let me find it. I had it here just a minute ago because it just shows the truth. Okay, let's see here. I had this open just a minute ago. Hold on 1 second. Okay. We can go to the ivermectin. I'll do something real quick on this. There's a website that's out there, Frontline COVID-19 Critical Care Alliance. I put that link out there on the show page as well. And we regard ivermectin as a core medication in the prevention and treatment of COVID-19. For comprehensive information on ivermectin, please refer to our review, blah, blah, blah. So that's something they were saying there. And it is one of the safest drugs known. It is on the WHO, the World Health Organization's list of essential medicines, has been given 3.7 billion times around the globe, has won a Nobel Prize for its global historic impact on eradicating endemic parasites, infectious, and infections in many parts of the world. Ivermectin is not FDA approved for the treatment, is not yet FDA approved for the treatment of COVID-19, but on January 14, 2021, the NIH changed their recommendation for the use of ivermectin in COVID-19 from against to neutral. So they're just going to say neutral, which again would allow the doctors to begin using it as they would want to do. It goes back to the games they played with it. But this other one, which is the Fauci COVID-19 dossier, this one here, it's 205 pages. This is a Supreme Court justice that Clarence Thomas was reading. I think this was in 03, and I'm reading just this excerpt. To give you, the whole point is people are lying to us. You can't believe the garbage that's being spewed to us. In their patent, the CDC made false and misleading claims to the United States Patent and Trademark Office by stating that a newly isolated human coronavirus has been identified for the causative agent of SARS and is termed SARS-CoV. No causal data was provided for the statement when they filed their patent application in April 2003. They've been playing around with this stuff for many years. Then another part down here. While the patent is clearly illegal under 35 U.S.C. 101, not only did the CDC insist on its granting over non-final and final rejections, but it also continued to pay maintenance fees on the patent after a 2013 Supreme Court decision confirmed that it was illegal. In addition to the CDC patent on the detection of SARS-CoV using a number of methods, including reverse transcription, polymerase chain reaction, RT-PCR. With this patent, they precluded anyone outside of their licensed or conspiring interest from legally engaging in independent verification of their claim that they isolated a virus, that it was a causative agent for SARS, and that the therapy could be effective against the reported pathogen. And, you know, there's another one here where, this one, they make reference to a 1905 case, but the Moderna and Pfizer alleged vaccine trials. Now, think of what this means to what's going on today. The Moderna and Pfizer alleged vaccine trials have explicitly acknowledged their gene therapy technology has no impact on viral infection or transmission whatsoever and merely conveys to the recipient the capacity to produce an S1 spike protein indigenously by the introduction of a synthetic mRNA sequence. Therefore, the basis for the Massachusetts statute and the Supreme Court's determination is moot in this case. Further, the USPTO in its rejection of Anthony Fauci's HIV vaccine made the following statement supporting the rejection for his bogus invention. Now, this is just a couple of things off the top, but this is what we're dealing with. These are the people that are entrusted with our health care. I don't see how anybody could read this. And this is legal public documents. This isn't something somebody just decided to write up an article on. And then the other one, which... this is 18 U.S.C. 2331 and 802, acts of domestic terrorism resulting in death of American citizens. Now, this one looks like it's a current one, but I can't see the actual date on it. I think it's February. It's when the whole dossier thing was put out. Dr. Anthony Fauci has intimidated and coerced a civilian population and sought to influence the policy of a government by intimidation and coercion. With no corroboration, Dr. Anthony Fauci promoted Professor Neil Ferguson's computer simulation-derived claims that The world is facing the most serious public health crisis in generations. Here we provide concrete estimates of the scale of the threat countries now face. Now, does this mean somebody, they're actually going after him for treason, terrorism, I shouldn't say terrorism. I don't know if that's what that really is ultimately going to mean. But this is, these are the people that are dictating to us our health care. They're the ones telling us what to do. They're the one, and of course, none of them have been elected to public office. What's going on with the the people that we listen to on the sidelines? Excuse me, the people that are supposed to represent us. What is that all about? That
well,
kind of thing.
You know, Sally, I know there's a lot of stuff there, but you know, the medical establishment, including Dr. Fauci, have sold the panic. And part of the panic came from the faulty model that was came out of the UK, okay? So they sold the panic, and the media created this hysteria, first over the vaccine, I mean, first over the virus, and now they're creating the, you know, trying to sell the vaccine to everybody. So if we had a better or a free press, they would hold everyone accountable. And as far as the politicians, this is like AIDS was 40 years ago before AIDS first came out. It's a political disease, okay, as well. You have all the politics involved. And as you were pointing out, it's always all about the money. And I will say one thing that I don't understand about the NIH and the CDC and Dr. Fauci is my father was a government employee for the United States Air Force. He was a physicist, engineer. He developed the AWACS radar system. He had several patents. But he always had to sign his patents over to the Air Force and to the government. So I don't see why Fauci has been making, if allegedly, has been making money off the patents if he's a government employee. I don't understand that yet, and I haven't really dug into it. But I know, other thing, you know, my personal experience, my father had to sign his patents over to the government because he was a government employee. And I'll just leave it at that.
Okay. Well, I see John wants to chime in here. Let me see what John's thinking. He may have a couple of different questions or perspectives. Hey, John.
Is this by any chance the doctor I heard the last time?
Probably.
Is the man talking a doctor?
Yes, he is.
That's what I thought. He sounded pretty authoritative. You got to take this to its logical conclusion. The government has already stated that they are trying to reduce world population by half. Now, this was a start, but AIDS was also the same type of, it was designed as a population control. That's why they gave it the sexually transmitted capability. They wanted to see how it was going to work. Well, if you make a virus sexually transmitted, it worked pretty good. I mean, that's the reason they made it so that whenever people had sex, we were on our way to population reduction, and that was done by us in a military lab. So our hands are dirty all over this thing. We started it up. The Chinese just got involved to a much lesser degree with a disease that's not necessarily fatal and is not sexually transmitted. We started off with a bang with AIDS. And that's what made AIDS so frightening. Everybody has more or less forgotten about AIDS now. and a lot of the people that would have died managed to stay alive using some kind of a a healer that they came up with much later. And it's available. The only thing is, I think it costs a lot of money, and it's very expensive. But if you notice, nobody talks about AIDS anymore. But it's out there. And world governments are huge on population control. So this is another attempt. Whenever you say man-made virus, that is what you're talking about. Population control. There is no other reason for us to be making viruses to kill. So I believe we're on the brink of what they want to do. It seems like every few years now, some new horrible virus comes up that kills people. I think they're just experimenting. And they're going to have, maybe this virus will do it, I don't know, but they're going to have their population reduction. Lots of people are going to die. As of yet, it hasn't happened. There are certain elements.
Hold on one second there, John. I don't know what the actual numbers are for people who have died, who they truly blame on the vaccine. We don't know. Again, the figures don't lie, but the liars do figure. I'm kind of curious, and maybe Dr. Joe has some info on this, how many pregnancies were sacrificed, if you will, or miscarriages after it, and then how many people have actually died? I mean, I've known of people, you know, people who got the vaccine who were fine. There wasn't like they were concerned about their health at that point. They get the vaccine and they go into some type of respiratory failure and things like that happen right after that. So I don't know how many people have died so far from the various vaccines. Dr. Joe, do you happen to have any of those numbers or know what's going on with that?
Can you hear me okay?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Hello? Okay.
Yep,
I don't have the figures. I have seen some figures, but I can tell you that whatever figures you're seeing right now, it's grossly underreported. There's the Vaccine Adverse Events Reporting System called VAERS. Only about somewhere between 1 and 10% of adverse events, including deaths, are being reported, basically because it's so hard for the doctors to fill it out. I understand it takes up to an hour to enter one case, so who has the time for that? And some doctors have been dismissive and said, oh, well, that wasn't related to the vaccine. You know, it had nothing to do with the vaccine. So there's gross underreporting. That's all I can tell you.
And have you heard the overall effect in reference to the pregnancies?
No, I've just heard some anecdotal. I've heard of some women who you kind of wonder why their OBGYNs would let them take a vaccine when for the rest of their pregnancy they don't let them take a sip of wine or anything, but why they would let them take this experimental biologic. And then their 20s and 30s, when up until like about a month ago, 6 weeks ago, you had to be over the age of 50 to take a vaccine. So there's a lot of unanswered questions here, but yeah, there have been reported miscarriages, as well as people, most, you know, stillbirths and all this and that. So, but I only have anecdotal reports. I don't have any studies.
Yeah, the other thing, the fertility thing is going to, obviously you're not going to find that out overnight. That's going to take some time to prove if, in fact, creates that issue. And then there's been other reports I've been hearing. I think it was Candace Owens who was talking about it or something, in reference to women not menstrual cycles, missing their menstrual cycles.
Yeah, it goes to the syncytial cells, I believe, of the placenta in pregnant women. I also understand that there are ACE2, ACE2, it goes after the spike proteins go after the ACE2 receptors. You have ACE2 receptors in your nose, your lungs, and your testicles. So it could possibly sterilize men, especially young men, and you would have population control that way.
Yeah. It goes back to what John was saying on that. The main thing is we truly don't know what it's going to do to people, and that's why I just – and going back to the one thing you mentioned, too, is like I was asking this question before, too. It's like I don't understand when doctors don't even want a pregnant woman to take aspirin or baby aspirin. They don't want them to take anything. Why would they go and give them this vaccine? It made no sense to me. I just really – it's beyond me to understand why they would do that. I couldn't figure that out. Very weird.
This is John.
Go ahead, John.
Can you hear me?
Yep.
Yeah, it was a recent movie made very interesting off a book by Isaac Asimov, obviously sci-fi. It was called Childhood's End, and it was about something that happened on Earth. And I was thrilled to see it was going to be made into a movie, and I really liked the movie. And I first read the story in 73. And it was basically about they were taking away our toys. The humans on planet Earth were children, and another race was designated to come here and take away our toys and eventually take us back. And we had been a very disruptive race on the planet, which is what we are today, and we were very flawed, like we are today. Violent, warlike, there were too many defects. So another race was designated to come here, and death was not necessary. They did not have to come here and violently kill off humans, and they did not do that. What they did do was make it impossible for them to reproduce anymore. So they were living the last of the species. And that is how they got rid of the species. They just, you don't have to kill stuff that have short lives. And everything on Earth has a short life, because we're all made of the same crap, which is carbon, hydrogen, oxygen. Now, I don't care if you're a plant or an animal. That is what you're made of. And then you can dictate what it's going to be, whether you become a banana or a mammal, by the DNA code. And we're over 60% water, everything that lives. This is a water planet. All of life comes from the same three elements. And it's pure genius. But if you eliminate, now everything reproduced, because you will see that everything on this planet reproduces because it has a short life. And if you want to get rid of any species, especially humans, all you have to do is take away a generation. And if you want to do a good job, you take away two. And there's no reason for any violence. And I think they've done that with this with this vaccine, because I have heard about a very distinct biological element to the vaccine. It affects DNA. So all that has to do is affect DNA in ways we would never know about. And there's your one or two generations when we're down to, what is it, 2 billion people, if that's what they want. Now, remember this. I'm only 75. When I was born, there were 2 billion people on this planet. This all happened, this ridiculous population, in my lifetime. And when I was born, to show you what 2 billion people couldn't stand each other on this planet because they were making wars and killing each other right and left with only 2 billion people on the planet. I was born after the two world wars, and my father fought in one. We hate each other. Humans hate each other on this planet like you can't believe. How we ever got to this population level is beyond me. But
well, go ahead.
With 2 billion people, we got along fine with just 2 billion people on Earth, and we're already at about like five times that. Did you all ever read the book, in the late 60s, some books came out that were really good about the pop. This one was called The Population Bomb by Ehrlichman, some guy named Ehrlichman, and he's, I believe, still alive in his 80s. But everything we're doing, everything today is coming back to one thing. It's being, can we apply this to the overpopulation? That is how the governments are looking at it. They consider it their responsibility to do it. They are the government.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know. Go ahead, Dr. Joe. You want to comment?
Yeah, I was just going to say that, you know, population, overpopulation is in the eye of the beholder. We're all God's children, so how you know, we are all created in his image, and so we are here because he wants us to be here. That being said, I do understand what you mean by, you know, when you were born, that there were 2 billion people and we couldn't stand each other then. I'll put you back a little further. Go back to Adam and Eve and Cain and Abel, and you remember Cain murdered Abel. So that there were only 4 people on the earth back then. So it has deep roots.
Yeah, it's very interesting. And our history is very unknown. We are a race that has no memory. If we go back over 3,000 years, you're lucky to know anything. So, as a species, humanity, that's very interesting what you said there, by the way, that we're God's children and he put us here. But I have another theory, and mine has evidence. God did not put us here. There was another race that came here. They were humanoid, and they looked like us. We ended up, because they needed precious metals.
Well, I'm not sure I want to get into that.
Gold. Pardon?
Not sure I want to get into that tonight, that discussion.
Well, there it is. We don't go back very far as a species on this planet. And there is debate about whether God really put us here or another race put us here, because it was specifically looking for precious metals to fix a problem on its home planet. And we end up getting here as part of a slave race, and they use their own DNA to make us. It's an amazing story, but so, for your own speculation, what if God never put us here? He only put the animals and stuff here, and another race put us here, and they left. And they left us. And this has been a chaotic mess since they left us here. And we haven't been here all that long.
Yeah, and like I said, I don't want to – we're kind of deviating because I don't think – I'm not sure that the other – whoever they were that put us here, whatever else, I don't know if they're the ones who provided the COVID.
Sustaining human life. You know what I'm saying?
Well,
yeah, I don't think
want
to get into
speculation on whether it was God that put us here on Earth or something else.
And the book of Genesis, we've read that several times.
Yeah, hold on, John. Let Dr. Joe say something there.
Okay.
Yeah, I was going to say, we've read the book of Genesis several times, so I don't think we necessarily want to get into a theological discussion here. But if you want to talk about depopulation, you know, let's talk about the eugenics movement and Margaret Sanger at the turn of the last century. And so this has been going on for a while, all right? And now we just have the technology to help them out. You know,
well, that's what the Second World War was all about. Eugenics. Hitler wanted to get rid of...
Well, worse. Yeah.
He wanted to get
rid of...
Worse
about
races.
Money and control, you know? So you can pick your war.
Well, and I guess that's... And let me kind of get back on track here a little bit, too. I mean, the COVID, I still say... The COVID, I believe, was an attack on us. It was the attack promoted the variety of things that happened until. And I just ask anybody to think of what would the United States of America look like today, had there not been a COVID attack on us, on our economy, and on our election? COVID attacked our election because it allowed all the other craziness to go on.
The power structure did not want that to happen, and that is why they did not allow it, and that's the whole reason for COVID. Trump was getting too far off of their track that they didn't want to go on.
Correct. I mean, that is my take on this because – and they couldn't – even with all the games, we're still having the audit out there in Arizona and this and that. And I know – I have no doubt, personally, at some time there will be conclusive, even more conclusive evidence – that the machines were rigged, they flipped the votes, Biden was never elected, it was Trump who was elected, but they were going to use everything, and by doing all these mail-in ballots and all this other stuff, they were able to whitewash a lot of the stuff they did in the with the flipping of the votes on the system.
If there was no Trump, there would never have been COVID.
Well, and I personally totally agree with that. I believe it was released as part of an attack, to manipulate the economy to impact the United States of America,
the
other part of the world got impacted.
Yeah, the Chinese and this corrupt government wanted it to go.
Well, and that's where I kind of want to talk.
There's one specific operative word here called globalist. We were merely on our way down the globalist path. Trump comes along, upsets the apple cart. This is all they could figure out to do. You can imagine
everything else that failed. Everything else they tried to shut him down failed.
There you go.
So that was that. But prior to COVID, we go back to the most underlying question here. Is why whatever this thing is with a globalist, Marxism. I was watching the Glenbeck special last night, and it was about
control.
What? You're gonna have to give me a chance to talk at some point here, John.
Would
so
give them that,
go ahead
but
and finish.
I don't think they want Marxism.
Well, Marxism
I
is what's happening
what
right
China
now.
China has right now. You know what
they
I'm
want
saying?
Communism? I'm somehow I'm getting confused.
A communist, non-voting government.
Yes.
With capitalism for the economy.
No. Well, they want to make believe there's capitalism, but it's all fascism. We have a fascist country today. Fascist or an oligarchy, whichever you want to call
that's
it. But we're here in the United States, we are past that. All you got to do is look at how much control the collusion of government, good old public-private partnerships, the collusion of government and the major corporations. The small businesses don't stand a chance. Small businesses, what really made us a free and open marketplace, those are going down. They're dying left and right now because of COVID as well. So when it comes to that kind of stuff, it's the they don't want an open market. They don't want a free market. They definitely don't want capitalism. They don't want that at all. And when you see what's happened, they're taking the discrimination about the farms. They're giving money to the black farmers, not the white farmers. What?
Capitalism is getting China everything it could not get under communism.
Correct. We gave it to them, but it's not going to last because, once again, they will take control of it. And when you shut down the free market here, which is what's happening, we're dying. The free market is dying in this society. Where will it go? And if I myself... You know, the COVID and everything else, they had to take down Trump because Trump was not the globalist they wanted him to be.
There would have been no COVID.
The racism, all the stuff with the racism is all part of the Marxist movement. The critical race theory.
They're just going to try to make that racist stuff is all going to make it impossible to even have a country.
The fall of a free society is going to take place, and it is going to be taken over by a Marxist society.
So, you know,
or communist,
COVID, and then it winds right back up to what really caused it, a political problem. Trump was their political problem, and they had to get rid of him, and this is the only way they could come up with. So... yeah, it's a pandemic, and we're suffering from COVID, but this fake virus, which they can now make in labs, we proved that. We were the first country to prove that with and inflict the world with a fake virus, and for one reason. It was for population control because it happened in our military lab. So if Trump hadn't come along, then this virus wouldn't have existed. And so if they can make these viruses in a lab, what can they do when they really team up? Can make it so deadly that we'd all be dead in God knows how long. It wouldn't take long.
Well, Dr. Joe, I want to get you back in here. I want to ask you a question, then we'll get to John, too. It's like, what would have happened? What do you think would have happened? Where would we be today, if we could imagine, if Hillary Clinton had been the president instead of Trump? Where the globalism kind of thing, the Marxism?
Yeah.
Where do you think it would have been?
I think if Hillary had won, that would have been Obama's third term. If Hillary had won, and the nails would have definitely gone into the coffin, so to speak. Crony capitalism, private-public partnerships, whatever you want to call it, you are correct. It's a type of fascism. Let's face it: the big box stores have put out mom and pop. Pandemic has now put mom and pop in the middle class out of business. And so it's been a big hit. And I don't know if we're going to recover from it, quite frankly.
Well, I think
if that would have happened under Hillary, we would have been
correct.
A Marxist regime.
Hold on, John. Let Dr. Joe finish.
Yeah,
I'm finished.
Well, I think Dr. Joe Spears are right on.
Yeah. Well, and to me, but going back to good old Hillary, Saul Alinsky's Rules for Radicals, she's a Marxist, communist, whichever you want to pick, and that's what their whole goal was all along. And the globalization piece, you try to put it all in the globalization, one world order under control of just a few, you know, just the few who think they're the gods of all of us, which I don't think they are, and what the destruction. And it was interesting what I started to say earlier is I was watching the Glenn Beck, he does a Wednesday night special, talking about revolution on the rise. Are we going to face a revolution in this country? And then it got into the Marxism. And you go down the history. The history, how they take away the land, destroy the farms, and how the racism played across the board. It's very interesting.
It's amazing
the history
how much
is really
stuff
right
the rich
there.
Guys are buying up. These billionaires are buying stuff up you can't believe.
Well, we know that Bill Gates
over
there have bought up most of the land. Bill Gates wants us to eat his manufactured whatever kind of meat because he doesn't believe
we can eat meat. Yeah, the billionaires are all determined they're going to buy everything.
But it's in the grand scheme of things, in the Marxism, it's not going to matter. The Marxism isn't going to ignore them.
The Marxism will only exist for the masses. It will not exist for the billionaires who love their wealth.
But there's too many billionaires today. They won't all survive. They won't all survive. It'll be a lot different.
Everything is speculation. There's no way to figure out how this is really going to end. We got started talking about a virus, and here we are into political. We are into political events, and you can't separate them because without the politics, the virus wouldn't exist. It's man-made. This is a mild virus, but what are they going to inflict on us next? That's what I wonder.
Well,
I mean,
what
does the doctor think is coming next? If they did this to us, what is next?
Well, I don't think anyone really knows what's next. I think we have too much to clean up right now to handle, okay? What's next? Well, it could be more of these mutations and more vaccines developed, just like your annual flu shot sort of thing. So, you know, that's at a very basic. As far as other types of viruses, I guess they could make another virus. That's totally possible. But we have enough to contend with right now with what we have. We still have a problem with the current virus. We don't know what's going to happen with these mRNA jabs. We have an economy that you're not getting the full truth on. We have inflation, possibly hyperinflation coming. We have a stolen election with 75 million disenfranchised Americans who are still not very happy about this. So we have enough going on. I mean,
you're fading out a little bit there.
We have Antifa, Black Lives Matter, and all these other troublemakers. So there's a lot on our plate. We have people coming over the border.
I'd say you had
you know,
it about
there's
right.
Going on. We don't really
hold
need
on, John.
Else.
Let him finish speaking.
Right. He has it right. I can't disagree with one thing you said.
Okay. But the question is right now, what are we the people doing? Are we going to face a revolution? I mean, is this going to end up resulting in some kind of a war that we end up splitting the country?
When we had the American Revolution, all revolutions after that were supposed to take place at the ballot box. But we know that in 2020, the ballot boxes were tainted and we had a stolen election. Right now, there's an audit being done in Arizona, I believe also in Antrim County, Michigan. So we need to have these forensic audits done And we need to get to the truth in order to restore the integrity of the election system. Because if it's not restored, there is going to be no 22 or 24 or whatever. If it's not restored, we are definitely in a communist, going to be remain in a communist state. We have a Marxist regime that's in power illegitimately right now. But we, the people, we need to do the correct thing, get the audits done, get the truth out, and then take it from there. Everyone needs to sit on their hands and not overreact until we can get to the truth. We know, we think we know what the truth is, but we need to have the facts.
Well, we also have to do what we can to block or stop this insane HR1, whatever it is, the one that's supposed to have the federal government take over the rights of the states when it comes to the elections.
Definitely need to oppose that.
Usurp the voting powers of the state. Ain't that just wonderful?
Yeah,
well,
HR1, S1, that needs to be opposed, absolutely. That cannot pass.
Now, the one other thing I did, and I'm hoping others will consider doing it too. I'm going to be doing this more as well. But lately I've been extremely busy, to say the least. The I sent an email to Senator Josh Hawley because he's one of the people who's out there in front of the camera a lot, and he's also doing complaining about big tech, which valid complaints. He's out there writing up bills and whatever he wants to do to try to change big tech, yet he continues to use Twitter and Facebook. I don't understand why anybody who opposes what Twitter and Facebook have been doing, their censorship and everything else, and how they played a big part of all this too. They were corrupting the media on top of what was already going on because they were limiting and censoring information on the internet, and of course, blocking different Facebook pages and stuff. What's going on with big tech? Why do these people still use Facebook and Twitter? I mean, what would happen if every American who is annoyed and group, not strictly the individuals, but also the different groups who are opposing the corruption of the big tech, the censorship and stuff, if they all shut down their accounts on Facebook and Twitter in one or two days? What would happen to those two giants? You still have Google. Google is another piece of this. But right now, we know the blatantly obvious censorship going on with Twitter and with Facebook. What would happen if they got shut down and if everybody just left them? And why don't people do that?
Well, Sally,
I have no guilt or blame in this because I've never been a member of any social, never Twitter, never Facebook, never a member of anything.
Okay.
I never thought
I believe. I believe that there's going to be a boycott on the 4th of July of all those platforms you just mentioned. I haven't seen more on it lately, but I saw something on it a little while back. So I hope it's still underway. And it should be the voice of the people on July 4th.
That would be great. If you have any
I've heard adults say that work with children, that social media is destroying our children. And there is evidence to prove it.
Well, yeah, I think if we get into human behavior, I think including the masks and everything else, how we have been manipulating and brainwashing and corrupting the basic mindset of humans in general. I go back to my good old favorite saying with Jefferson, expect a nation to be ignorant and free, you expect what never was and will never be. We are promoting an ignorance. We're promoting racism. We are covering our faces. And the whole idea of covering the faces, I mean, of course, I was bugged by this, and I never wore the mask until it was a stupid mandate in the stores. The when you cover the face, when you can't see somebody, first off, we used to have laws against that because that's what criminals did. They wanted to cover themselves. They didn't want you to recognize them. But when it comes to the expression, the communication, what children – hold on, John. What children would learn, I think it was Ben Carson who was talking about it on one of the shows the other day. He was at the Mike Lindell thing. We're talking about the socialization skills. When you cover the face, I just can't even imagine – trying to be a young mother with a young child at this time and not being able to see that, well, the babies are usually not masked, but the baby can't see the mother's face. And what is the mother going to try to kiss the baby with a mask on? I mean, come on. That whole relationship, what are you doing to the psyche of a child, of the next generation, when you
children?
Do this to them? What's that?
That all remains to be seen.
Well, I don't think it's a rocket science to figure out. I think we have seen it. I think we have seen what happens when you isolate and alienate people from each other. Humans are not meant to be alienated that way.
Think you can pretty much figure it ain't good.
No, it's not. You're talking about what it's all doing
we
in the same. And to go, hold on, John, let me finish. Go on to the technology part of it, too. I don't think it's good to have a kid being more have a stronger relationship with a cell phone or an iPad than they do the humans around them. So what we're doing there too isn't good.
It is absolutely sick.
It is absolutely, and you know
what
it's
if
kind
we
of funny.
What have we done to our society?
If you
I've
follow
heard it said
these.
That- People spend like it's like their whole life now on their cell phone.
Yeah, and it hasn't. Obviously the effect on kids is going to be a lot greater because they were born with it. I mean, I think they were born with a cell phone in their hand or something, or an iPad.
They're on
but it's even older. The older people too that I know older people who I mean, you take away that cell phone,
oh,
and they're going to have
a
crisis.
I'm not on social media. That's the difference.
Well, no, social media is a whole other ballgame. I'm not talking social media that way.
Yeah.
I'm talking about that. I mean, that when they're on their cell phone, they could be on Facebook or something else, but they can be out there playing all kinds of games. They can be out there surfing. They're totally focused on something else besides interacting directly. And the same goes too when you call into a company and you want customer service, and all you get is a machine that you can't talk to anything real. You can't. The machine doesn't usually understand everything you want. Now they want to have robotic watchdogs and all this other insanity. I mean, it's all very bizarre to me, definitely not good for the human condition.
I have a statement for you and the doctor, not necessarily a question. How come Liz Cheney hasn't come up in this conversation?
Well, actually, it's kind of funny you mentioned that because I actually put – hold on, John. Let me answer. I actually had a note on my sheet for tonight to say goodbye, Liz Cheney. So I was actually going to mention that, which I think, you know, when you think about what she represents, she's disgusting.
Exactly. What is that all about?
She's establishment. She's the globalist establishment. She was part – Cheney, her father, was part of the Bush administration. We all know what the Bushes are.
She represents Bush globalism, which is also a communist takeover of us.
Correct.
And
exactly.
That's what she's trying to get us back to. That
and the fact she got pushed out the door, I think, is I take that as a positive sign. That
it's
frustrating. Hold on, John. Please let me speak. Frustrating as everything has been. I have faith that some people do seem to be really waking up to what's going on. I think DeSantis is calling it out and making some people think about this more. So, wait a minute. We can actually live in a place where we don't have to wear a mask all the time. And I'm definitely with you, Dr. Joe, that I don't want people coming to Florida because they end up – there's exactly the same problem that's right here in Orange County. Orange County has been taken over by the liberals. It wasn't a liberal county to begin with, but it is now. So I'm not really that influenced or excited about massive people coming here because they're escaping what they created in another state. Let them keep their bad habits where they're at kind of thing. So – So, but I see with the thing with Liz Cheney and some of these other things, I take it as some people are really starting to realize that government control of your cell phone means you might not get to use it all day long. What about these the pipeline mess? Government, or the, what is the role of government in this pipeline? Now, this government, this presidency, this administration, well, wait a minute, that's the private sector. We're not going to touch that. We need more electric cars. Are they that stupid? Do they not understand where they, that they still need energy for electric cars? It's so ridiculous. And all the risks and threats you create for the society at large if you try to limit or stop the fossil fuels the way they want to do it. You know what? Over time, you come up with a better solution, people will buy it, and that's it. But to go out there and try to mandate it all is just totally insane. So I take it as a positive that some things, that people are waking up to some of these things. And when all these prices are going up and stuff like that, I think a lot of people, including, I'll call them the true Democrats, where they believe in the working class kind of thing, what the Democrats of yesteryear were, not the communist Democrats we see today.
There aren't really any
those
of those
that
left.
Still believe, you know, thought the Democrat Party was for the working class, which, you know, we can see that's not happening. I think they're waking up, too. I think they're saying, wait a minute, what the heck is this? This isn't what I wanted. This isn't. These aren't people watching out for us. Our jobs are dying. Their jobs are going away. So I take it maybe there's still hope. I keep praying every day. I keep
hoping
something happens.
They want to control everybody with big government.
Well,
that's the whole plan.
That, I don't think that's what all Democrats believe. My mother was a Democrat, and that isn't what she believed. I know that wasn't what she ever believed.
Yeah, but
and
the new
we go back
Democrat
to JFK.
Party is all about that.
JFK was a Democrat, and that's not what he believed either. Of course, JFK would never
and
get elected
today.
And why
is the Democrat Party in bed with the Chinese?
I didn't say it. You didn't hear what I said. Right now, the Democrat Party has aligned itself with the Communist Party here in this country. So we now have a Democrat-Communist Party. However, I'm talking about the masses of Democrats, people who are actually Democrats, as my mother was, and as others I know. I don't think they go to the extreme of what the some of these the AOCs out there and whatever else. I don't think they truly believe what Omar out there is doing is correct. Some of them, I think, are probably scared to say anything, and I think you're going to see more and more of the Democrats jumping to the no-party affiliate kind of thing down the road,
yeah.
too. I do believe there's a fair amount of Democrats who do not support the insanity of what's going on today either, because they're starting
right.
to realize they're going to lose their rights, too.
Yeah.
One last
Kelly,
thing,
you're right
we'll
on,
do,
that, on
okay.
that.
Yeah. Go ahead, Dr. Joe.
Well, I just wanted to say that the true Democrats. My mother was originally a Democrat. She became a Reagan Republican. I think what happened is in the 90s, late 80s and 90s, two things happened. The communists were able to infiltrate the union and the leadership of the Democrat Party. Your average Democrat voter did not know that, and they usually don't read the party platform either. So the Democrat Party leadership has been hijacked by the communists. To your point, I think that your average, to use the word, average Democrat is waking up. This is such a contrast. The last couple months of the Trump presidency and now the first 100 and some days of the Biden administration with the 70-plus executive orders, the awful jobs report, inflation, gas prices, et cetera, the crisis at the border, that all is a wake-up call. This happened back in around 2009, 2010, during Obama's first 2 years. The frog in the warm water, they jacked up the heat too much, and the frog jumped out, and the Americans woke up. I think all of this radical stuff that this new administration put in the first 100-plus days is waking up a lot of people, and they're starting to miss Trump, even though they didn't exactly care for his personality and his tweeting. They like his policies. So that is our only hope, is that enough, a majority plus of Americans will wake up and join the Trump MAGA Republicans And
I hope you're right.
That is our last hope right now.
Yep. And
yeah,
let me
I
read something
wrong.
Out of the hold on, John, the chat room real quick here. Let's see. Executive order from Biden wants to have a Karl Marx Day. I hadn't heard that one yet. It's like, oh, my God. And then a comment, how else are they supposed to communicate with the people? They call themselves blue dogs. So, yeah. So I have some hope that there is an awakening happening. That's that. I just hope it happens fast enough. And I hope we clean up this next election, because I think 2022 really is going to be the determining factor here. Because if we haven't cleaned up the elections, we haven't built any integrity in the election process, then you don't have to worry about anything else. There is no 2024.
Yeah.
There is no other
president. We haven't gotten rid of all globalists in the Republican Party, which are coming out of the woodwork now.
Well, right. The Republican Party is trying to clean itself up. And Sally, to your point, will this happen fast enough? I will let you, it's my opinion that this administration is trying to destroy this country. They're spending worse than drunken sailors, and that's being disparaging to the sailors. I mean, look at all the money that they want to spend that they've already spent. They're letting these illegals come over the border. They're trying to overwhelm the system, every system that we have, following the Cloward-Piven model of 1966 from Columbia University. So they're putting on all the coals. They are trying to destroy this country, in my opinion. And it is a race against time. Will a critical number of Americans wake up and join us and stop this nonsense? We shall see.
Well,
dear Lord,
agree.
I hope so. Go ahead, John.
The globalists are on Liz Cheney's side.
Of course.
And where Liz Cheney's coming from is she was taught at her father's knee all about globalism. When Cheney was in there as vice president with Bush, they were trying to get globalism instituted during the whole 8 years. So, pardon?
Well, Bush was one of the Republicans that we tried to warn people about. We say, you know, go back to the history of the Bush family,
well,
including the John Ellis Bush we had here.
We're making progress. Yes, we are. From back then, hardly anybody knew anything about what Bush was trying to do with the globalism. They thought he was a good guy. So at least we are now, a lot of us are on board about how evil the globalist plan was, and the Republicans were involved in it. And that's where she's coming from, Liz Cheney.
Yep. Well, and we have to face the fact, too, when it comes down to Republicans have never played the game as good as the Democrats. I'm talking about the far left ones, the radicals ones, because the Democrats knew to run as Republicans because they knew people voted for party lines. So you've got the Republican Party has been taken over by a substantial amount of Democrats. Now, going back to what Dr. Joe was just saying, there's this awakening that the GOP is like actually taking a closer look at itself in the mirror and realizing how many people it has in it that are not conservatives at all, not constitutionalists at all.
That
so
was what Trump was calling the swamp. That
yeah,
was what Trump
course,
was referring to as the swamp.
Yeah.
The globalists.
Well, the swamp. But to me, it wasn't. I never called it a swamp. I called
back
it a
in there. Look at all the good things Trump's done.
Yeah.
He kept
well
the evil.
But Trump, there's some
Hillary
things he didn't
Clinton
do through that he could
House.
Have been stronger on. So there's a few things he didn't do that towards the end I think would have been beneficial. And also, believe it or not, I've actually heard him promote this vaccine. Nothing could be more disgusting. I mean, if he wants to just be neutral and say people should do what they think is right for them, okay, fine. But when I actually heard him encouraging people to get that vaccine. I was quite discouraged by what he was saying there too. So, Trump, he did a lot of good, but there's a few
Trumpered
things
enough.
He could have done better.
Do you know that they're going to make his life living hell if he gets back in there and gets reelected?
Well, to be honest, I'm not worried about Trump getting reelected. Trump is not going to get reelected. There's no way. He ain't going to get reelected. There's already too many forces, including the Republicans.
Pardon?
Well, I mean, again, Trump can be an influence out there. Hold on, John. Okay, hold on, John. I understand what you're saying, yes. But he can be an influence in other ways. He can help with other things. I do not ever Trump can play the game out there. He can jump in front of the camera and talk about, you know, whatever. He can definitely have an influence, but he will never be the president again. Not unless, which of course we're kind of getting late into the game, if they truly thought they could reverse this, or if in fact there was any truth to what was happening with the U.S. corporation or some other weird, bizarre thing, which would make him take over the presidency at this point in time. I do not see him getting reelected in 2024, no matter what. I don't see it.
Well, I can't imagine anything beyond a certain – I couldn't predict squat. So, you know,
well,
that's just one more thing I couldn't really say. But
I mean, I
think
people
what
still like him.
Out of the White House, he did a lot.
Yes. And we'll talk about Trump and what he's done and whatever else in another show because we're just about out of time here. So, but I'm just saying, I don't think he could ever run again. There would be too many forces against him for a variety of reasons.
You may be right.
And I don't even know that most people would vote for him again because of all the hassles it's been. Let him work from the outside. There's a lot of stuff he can do from the outside if he doesn't go around promoting vaccines and stupid things like that, but that's another story. One last thing.
You know what,
we're just about out of time here.
Had one comment.
Okay.
You know what, Dad? Trump had the Middle East problem under control, and look at where we are right now today, to this very night. They're at war.
Oh, yeah. He did amazing things around the world. He did amazing things with China. He did amazing things with our border. We were in so much better shape, and we were a sovereign nation when he was there.
We are a mess
now. No argument there.
Just like that.
And then we've got this other moron in 140 days who's done almost everything to totally destroy it. Whatever.
It's horrible. You have to concentrate on other things or you'll go crazy.
Well, this is true. So I'm mentioning that. I heard something today on the Chauvin case. First off, they've proven the one guy, one of the jurors, this was last week, one of the jurors was seen at a Black Lives Matter protest. Openly promoting kill the cops or defund the police, whatever. So it seems like his trial would be overturned off of that. Hold on, John. Anyway, it seems like his trial would be overturned by that alone. It's going to be interesting to see how that all plays out. We haven't really had much of a chance to talk about the Chauvin trial altogether. We might do that on the next show or something. Hold on. Today they were saying something about some judge was going to give him additional time. His punishment, adding another 10 years onto his sentence or whatever else, I still don't know the full story on that one. But I think the Chauvin case, and we're coming up to Memorial Day, and, does anybody expect there's going to be some other event on Memorial Day? We're not going to have time to get into that, but I'm wondering, because it was Memorial Day when this whole thing happened to begin with, that started all the rioting across this country. But we were overcoming. Everybody remembers. Remember last year, Trump. John, please let me finish. Remember last year, Trump was getting control of the COVID thing. He had the ventilators being produced, and they had all these other different things were coming, the hospital ships and this and that. And, of course, the communist Democrats out there weren't happy about all that, but he was actually getting it under control, And then on Memorial Day, we have this mass event here that starts all the wars across, battles in the street, rioting in the street. There was nothing to do with protesting. This was, to me, you could have called it a war as well, a war zone out there. And so I kind of wonder, we're coming up to the anniversary, what's going to happen here? And we still have fighting, I think, in the streets in Portland. So we still have all this other stuff that's going on, too. It's a very, very crazy time. And I'm going to leave it there. And, John, I'll let you have a couple of minutes here for your wrap-up, and then we'll go to Dr. Joe, and then we're going to call it a night.
Well, I can't think of anything y'all didn't cover, and it was great talking to both of you.
Okay. Well, thank you. We'll definitely have another discussion again somewhere next, hopefully before the month is up. And just keep praying for us. That's all I can say. Dear Lord, help us.
I don't pray
You're
at
not
all.
Taking the vaccine
I don't
either,
pray.
Right?
I have no religion. I don't think there's a God, and I don't give a shit about religion.
Now, John, no need for the profanity on the show. Okay, John, we've heard from you. Thank
Keep
you so much for tuning in and calling
yourself.
In.
I have no religion.
Okay. God bless America anyways.
Never.
Okay, Dr. Joe.
This mess wouldn't exist, period.
Okay, John, we heard that. Okay, you had your chance, so we're finished, and I need to give Dr. Joe a couple minutes here.
Well, I just want to say I think we're going to see, hopefully over the next week or so, a lot of changes in these states as the CDC, a lot of them following the CDC guidance. So hopefully we'll see a lot of them opening up for their people. Be interesting to see what happens in California with the recall for Governor Newsom. We still have Gretchen Whitmer up in Michigan with her baloney, threatening more lockdowns, also not being very friendly to the pipeline up there. So it's a mixed bag. We'll see what happens also with Governor Cuomo in New York and whether they oust him, and he's in, with all his problems. So
well
anyway, I'll just leave it at
Well said, Doctor.
So anyway... Well, Sally, I'm sure there'll be more developments over the next 2 weeks. I think we're getting some momentum here, and we'll see what happens.
Yep. So, okay. Well, thank you both. A great discussion.
Did you see that billboard in Maryland? Hello?
No, I'm not sure what you're referring to, John, but we're running out of time. We're running out of time here.
If you haven't seen the billboard in Maryland, look it up on the net. It's a beautiful billboard.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Okay.
Good
thank
night.
You, John. I haven't seen it, so I'll have to go take a look at it right after the show here. I'll try to find it. And, thank you, everyone, for tuning in. Sorry, it's been a while. It's hopefully it won't be this long before the next. Hopefully I can have another show within the next couple weeks. And keep on track on this. And we won't focus as much on the COVID except for the most basic updates of what's happening with the reopening and hoping people take their masks off and all that fun stuff. But I want to get more into the Marxism stuff because, you know, those that listen to Mark Levin, you know that he's got his book coming out. I think it's coming out in July, American Marxism. And Glenn Beck is saying a lot of the similar things. In some crazy way, DeSantis is demonstrating it versus he's not saying the same thing they're doing, but he's going out there and putting things out on the open. And we have to go back to the truth. We have to face what's really, really happening here. Otherwise, nothing's going to change. We can't allow the racism to continue. We can't allow, even in IT world, now you're not allowed to say whitelist something. You're not allowed to say blacklist something. Yeah, I mean, we're getting so insane, and we're playing so many games and brainwashing, especially when it comes to the kids. We've got to get back to the truth. We've got to teach real history. We have to teach what equality really means, that we all have equal rights. It's just we got to get back to there. And that's the only way we have a chance. And we have to force the media.
I feel sorry for you and the doctor. I feel sorry for you and the doctor who are people that actually have work in this. I don't work anymore.
John,
so
we're almost out of time.
Well, I feel sorry for working people of all types. You and the doctor are still working. So, believe me, you have my sympathies. I don't know how you do it.
Okay. Thank you, and I appreciate your sympathy there, John. The that wasn't quite the way I was planning on closing. John always gets his last two cents in there. And thank you, John. But anyway, we have to get to the truth. We have to be honest with what's going on. We have to force the media, to be honest, and we have to force these electors, those elected to public office, senators and representatives. We have got to stand up and speak up about what's going on from the schools and through everything else. We really do. Fire Fauci. Fire Fauci. Fire the CDC if you can figure a way to do it, but fire Fauci. And with that being said, thank you so much, and hopefully we'll be talking in just a couple of weeks. Be good to each other. Pray for our country. Whether you believe in God or not, pray for our country. We need his blessings. I do believe in God, excuse me, and I do believe we are one nation under God. And a nation, what did Reagan say? When we are no longer one nation under God, we will be a nation gone under. And I believe that is so much to the core of what our problem is today. The core is that we no longer have faith, ethics, integrity. We don't believe in those kind of things. A very selfish and self-serving culture that doesn't care about life. It's okay to kill people in the streets. It's not okay for a white person to kill a black cop in the routine. However, blacks can kill anybody, and anybody else can die too. It's really only that one scenario that seems to make a difference. The rest of that, people don't seem to have any value on life. They don't care about life at all. And we got to get back to those values. Otherwise, it truly is over. So anyway, I've kind of rambled here at the end. Thank you again for tuning in, and we will be talking again in a couple weeks. Good night, and God bless America.